Hi, my name is Yemi, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Philia.
Hey, guys.
And welcome to Treading Faith. Treading Faith is a weekly Bible study podcast dedicated to taking a deep dive into the Word with honest, fun, and sometimes difficult conversations surrounding our everyday lives, our relationships, and our faith walk with Christ. So, Philia, what are we diving into today?
Well, our topic for season 4 is yoked, where we are examining the relationships of 10 to 12 couples from the Bible in order to find and maintain relationships that are guided by the Word to become evenly yoked. Now, we are using Dr. David Clark's The Top 10 Most Outrageous Couples of the Bible, and today's lucky couple would be Adam and Eve.
Couple numero uno.
So I will be reading from Genesis chapter 3, and this is the fall, and it states, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' Then the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Amen.
Amen. This is interesting, Philia. This is the fall. We know that God made Adam and Eve. And if you want to go back to Genesis chapter 2, you can see the beginning mm-hmm. of how God created Adam and Eve and their purpose and what he instructed them to do and what not to do. Right. So we're going to talk about like their first sin and right. their first fall and how that affected their relationships and pretty much all relationships.
Yeah, I think that this is really important to understand that in the beginning, we can see from this that they were together, but it was until they ate the fruit that was forbidden that they actually realize things that they didn't realize. And it's interesting how Adam said, "The woman you gave to me ate it." Mm-hmm. And it's so right there, it shows there was a partnership. And I think it's that partnership that caused the downfall, because he did what a partner would do, which is to follow suit with what your partner does. So this is something that I think we need to talk about in talking about relationships, how partnerships are important, but it's also important to communicate.
Yes, absolutely. It's important to communicate. I think the whole fall from grace and the whole being disobedient and creating their first sin put them in a position where they would be separated from God. So before this fall, they were able to enjoy an intimate relationship with God. They were walking around the Garden of Eden with God. They were talking to God. They were communing with God. And now they are kicked out of their haven and they are a separation, not only separation between God, but separation between the couple, because now there's finger pointing and blaming. Mm-hmm. Like Philia pointed out, Adam was like, "But it's the woman you gave me who gave me this."
Right.
And the woman pointed to the snake. It was like, "Well, it's this beast that you put here that told me to do it." So no one is taking ownership. And a part of relationship with God is honesty and transparency and being vulnerable. And I think we can learn, yes, this has already occurred. Yes, we are all fall short of the glory. We are all born into sin, but there are opportunities to reconcile. And if we want to have purposeful, meaningful relationships that stand the test of time, we need to come together and not be separated. And the best thing we can do is to have open, vulnerable communication.
Absolutely. And this open, vulnerable communication is the thing that leaves us vulnerable, but that vulnerability also leads to strength because you can now count on your partner to be able to support you when you're feeling weak. And I think that's why the communication is important. I think the fact that you will lie and be deceitful and keep secrets is the cause of the sin in the first place. That's why when God was walking through, they immediately hid because they knew they were keeping a secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah, that like shame that they felt like they had to hide and to keep the secret is something that people do in relationships. They have some kind of shame about something, whether it's their sin, whatever they're facing, and they hide and they keep it in secret. And we know that secrets are destructive to relationships. We know that hiding things, hiding from your spouse, hiding from your partner is destructive for your relationship. Any relationship you have should be based, have a foundation of honesty. This helps you to be closer. This helps you to gain intimacy. And I think, and I know that I would struggle with this for sure. What Dr. Clark tells us we need to do in having this vulnerable, open, and honest relationship with our partner is to let them know what our sins are.
Right.
I mean, right. We all know that we struggle. We have our right. struggles. We know what causes us to sin. We know what these triggers are. Mm-hmm. We know our downfalls, the things that we are ashamed of, the right. things that we hide. This is something he tells us that we need to be open and honest with our partner about. That means that we're left completely vulnerable, exposed, naked.
Right. Yes. Naked and ashamed. You know, it's really funny that you, that Dr. Clark mentions this because I think it's really important to not be afraid of what your partner would think of you and what they would say of you. They're not our executors. They're not our judges, right? They are our partners. And as partners, you have to be able to lean on each other and trust each other. So I think that this vulnerability, that's where it stems from. To talk about the sins or talk about the things that are in your mind, in your heart, that's what the devil focuses on. That's the seed that he once planted so he can continue to have you question yourself and do the things. Well, for example, what about people who love pornography, for instance? I would give that as an example, right? If one partner likes it and the other one doesn't, and he's, you know, let's just say he's the man, he's in the bathroom or he's in the bedroom looking at it and his wife comes and he's covering his phone. It's like, what is it that leads to that? What is it that makes you feel like you're not being either compatible with your partner or you're lacking that you feel like you need to go outside? Now, it might not be outside with a physical person, but there's some type of emotional attachment that you have to this thing that you're looking that gives you some type of pleasure. So in talking about something so intimate, it's like, okay, I like this. Maybe we can watch it together if that's something to do. But if it's not, then what is it that's causing you to want this need? Why do you feel that you need this to give you the pleasure you're looking for? And it kind of reminds me of this idea of when we were on our sugar fast, what is it that makes us run to sugar? It's that it's something that we feel that we're lacking, that we're not getting, that causes us to run to an outside figure or outside thing or an outside entity to give us the satisfaction that we can just get from God. So this is the type of relationship that I'm talking about. It's what are the things that's going to lead to that sin? What is causing you to think about it? Even that smallest mustard seed, how it can germinate into something so great, so grave that it can be the demise of your entire relationship.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to examine what these temptations are. First, you have to identify it. And if maybe you think that you're not doing something wrong, I think a lot of times we say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. The fact that you're hiding it should be a big clue that it's something you need to be honest about with your partner, especially if you have to hide it. You don't have to say all your flaws. Some things your partner will know, right? They live with you. They're with you constantly. They're going to be able to point out some of your sins, your defects, your flaws. But some things are you've hidden and reserved and you only do it. And sometimes small sins lead to big sins, right? So maybe you think that this is harmless that what you're doing, but it may be harmful in the long run. It may cause you to actually step out of your relationship if you're addicted to pornography and now you no longer want to be intimate with your spouse. And all these things can happen. So you don't want that big rock to separate you from your spouse. The point is to identify it early, discuss it, and so that your spouse is aware of it. the Dr. Clark tells us that there is going to be temptation. We need to understand what the temptation is. And then when we start rationalizing temptation, it's not that bad. Oh, you know, other people do it. Right. Like, I'm still intimate with my partner, right? Like, I'm not asking my partner to do these acts so that I watch them. You know, we're just talking about the example,
justifications,
right?
Yes.
So you're justifying why you're doing this. And then you choose. You make a choice to do the sin, whether the sin is pressing play, right? Whether the sin is stepping out, whatever it is that you've already rationalized, you've been tempted, you rationalized, now you chose to do it. Then the next thing is that there's consequences for your actions. So now this consequences is causing that boulder in your relationship, right? Maybe you didn't communicate with your partner through steps 1, 2, 3, right? But when you hit step 4 and there's a consequence, it affects your partner. That's why we call these marital sins. It's not personal. It's not just against you. Whatever you're doing in your relationship, in your partnership, affects the other person. We cannot act as if we're alone when we're in partnership. When you're in communion with someone, when you're in community, when you're in relationship, when you're engaged with someone on this deep relationship level, your actions have consequences that affects them. And you don't want the consequences to be so huge that it causes the dissolution of the marriage.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about this this dissolution of the marriage, because with Adam and Eve, up until the time that they sinned, they were always together, even up until the time that they actually took the, you know, bit from, you know, from the forbidden fruit. So here, Adam is by her side up until that decision. He sins also by eating the apple. He was right by her side. He's the supportive husband. He did everything that we look for the essential, the perfect couple does. But the problem with them is that the lack of teamwork was more the communication, because maybe had there been some type of discussion, because we don't know, besides all we see is from the Bible that she's communicating with the serpent as if that is her husband, as opposed to communicating with Adam, who could have possibly said, yes, but God said, or, you know, the Lord said not to do this, or whatever the case might be. So it's almost even showing how the shift happened, where the serpent became the person who infiltrated that union that they had to cause them to be apart. And had that same intimacy happened at the time with her husband, who is to say what the consequences would have been? Or the consequences would have been different at that particular time. We can speculate only because this is what the Bible tells us, that that communication happened. And as a partner, he followed suit and did exactly what his wife did. So it's important to understand that those steps that Dr. Clark mentions, where he talks about the temptation as step 1, then step 2 is the rationalization. Then you said step 3 are the choices, but step 4, you know, step 3 are the choices and step 4 are the consequences. It's really important to be accountable for the things that you do and the things that will cause that marital sin to occur. Anything one does affects the other, and you have to see you guys as a team.
That is 100% true. And like Philia mentioned, while Adam and Eve were constantly together, there was no communication. We didn't hear the communication between Adam and Eve about this temptation and then the choice. I mean, she had the conversation with the serpent. He's making the temptation to her. He's rationalizing it to her. She's rationalizing. She makes the choice and then invites Adam to make the choice as well. Had they been talking to each other during this whole time, maybe Adam could have encouraged her not to. Maybe he had his own thoughts about it before she ate the apple and offered it to him. So that's why Dr. Clark is telling us that we need to communicate. We need to be open and vulnerable with our partners and our relationships so that we can build each other up, help to prevent each other from sinning, and not creating that distance between each other. And it's so important that you mentioned that Adam was right by her side during this whole point, right? And then he blames her in the end. But it's funny, because another thing that Dr. Clark points out about this relationship is an intimacy. So by falling from grace, from this fall, Adam and Eve lose intimacy with God. And clearly there wasn't an intimacy with each other, because they didn't talk to each other before they entered into the sin. Now they're blaming each other because they weren't on the same page. They weren't on accord. Who knew Adam would blame, throw her on the bus, and then she would throw the serpent under the bus. They did not present as a united front, even though they sinned together. When they're in trouble, when they have to face the consequences, it's now blaming. And there's a loss of spiritual intimacy, not just with God, but with each other when there isn't communication. And although Adam was by her side, he failed to do something that was really important. He failed to be a leader. He failed to be accountable. He failed to take responsibility. And Dr. Clark tells us that, yes, there are different types of intimacies. There's spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy. This is very important for our relationship. But just to focus on spiritual intimacy, he tells us there's different aspects. There's intimacy with God. There's the intimacy of the husband taking leadership. There's the intimacy of praying together. And there's intimacy in spiritual conversations. He wants to encourage couples to portray all these intimacies or to gain all these intimacies in their relationships, so that they don't fall, so that they're not separated, so that they can grow together.
It's really important, Yemi. I agree with you about the growth, because how that happens is to put God in the center. Because when God was in the center and in the midst of Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. And the minute they stepped outside of that and started to do things differently, started to think on their own accord, started to be misled by, you know, Satan, who's always on the prowl, who's always trying to get us to do everything outside of what God wants for us. That was when they were weak, and they were not a united front, where Adam could have stepped in maybe as a leader to stop that from happening or having a discussion. That lack of communication is the thing that caused their demise. But for simple relationships, it's the same thing. They always say the things that cause the demise of relationships is communication, finances, and intimacy. Those three things, of course, in our regular day-to-day lives are the things that affect us. But communication is the key. Having that conversation, talking about the things that we struggle with, talking about our insecurities, talking about the things that tempt us, talking about putting God first, praying for your partner is also very important, because then you can pray together and pray to God and ask him to help my partner be strong. Help us, you know, you put us together and no man can put asunder. It's really important for us to be together in everything that we do. The holding each other accountable for the other person is the thing that's going to make us a united front. And this is what Dr. David Clark is emphasizing in this. In all relationships, communication is key, and communication will strengthen the relationship, but most importantly, putting God in the center of your relationship will give you the strength that you're absolutely looking for.
Yes, with God in the center of your relationship, both of you are Christians. You're both having a relationship with God and having a relationship with each other. To have that intimacy with God means that God is leading your household. You take instructions from the Word. You're hopefully going to a Bible-based church and receiving instruction. You have a spiritual leader that you're following that's speaking into your relationship. Imagine if you were not going to church together with your spouse and or your partner, and you guys had different ideologies and never even talked about it. Mm-hmm. So now when things come up, you guys are doing things based on your perspective. And it causes conflict because you're not on one accord. But if you were receiving instructions on the same wavelength and actually discussing it, then you guys could present a united front. The point of the spiritual intimacy where the husband leads is that, yes, the woman should follow the husband's direction, right? You can't have two leaders. It doesn't really work. That's why there's a president and a vice president. Someone is second in command. Sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. But God asks us that we have our husbands be our spiritual leaders, so that they are saying, like, this is the church we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. And a woman has to allow the man to be a spiritual leader as well, has to give him the space to say and do these things that God has ordained him to do. You can't win if you're both struggling to be leaders. Sometimes the woman is going to lead. Sometimes the man is going to lead. It changes depending on the things, depending on strengths and weaknesses. But there has to be a concise, consistent, clear voice of how you're presenting in your spiritual front, how you're going to engage with God in your relationship, what that's going to look like. Because if one partner is engaging God and the other partner is not engaging God, it's going to be very, 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 very difficult for you to have intimacy with God in your relationship.
I agree. I think that it's really important to see also that God gave them an opportunity to even come back because he loved them so much. And it's evident that God wants us to draw, he wants to draw us closer to him no matter what is happening to us. And even though he banished them from that perfect environment, he still gave them an opportunity to make amends, to strive. And I think that's what happens now, that even after that sin, after that catastrophe, and we have been plagued with sin, it shows that God still gives us that choice, that ability, that free will to come back to him. And that's why putting him in the center is where that will comes from. It's saying, hey, we were given this before, but we've lost that privilege, but we still have it's still an open door for him, for us to be able to come back in his presence.
Yes. God will always allow you to come back, which is a great thing. Forgiveness is great. This is why we are having the relationships that we have with one another. Also, God asks us that we should ask that we pray together to build intimacy. In order to pray together, what this looks like in a couple is that you're setting time together to pray, like you're holding each other's hand and someone is leading, someone is also participating. It doesn't matter how you really structure it, but you're spending time together as man and wife or partners, whatever your relationship is, you're holding hands and you're praying together. This leads to spiritual intimacy. Another step to lead to spiritual intimacy is having spiritual conversations. You can have spiritual conversations about anything, but it's most important to talk to each other about how you're feeling, about how God guided you, blessed you, the things in the Bible that are sticking out to you, stories that you remember, maybe whatever you learned from church you're talking about and you're thinking about, things that you're struggling with God, things that you prayed for that you haven't had answers to. These kind of conversations that you have with your partner allows you to gain spiritual intimacy. Again, it's a part of vulnerability and it's a part of communication. The way to erase the first marital sin is communication with open, honest, and vulnerable conversations about your sins, about your weaknesses, and intimacy, spiritual intimacy, intimacy with God, spiritual intimacy with God, and spiritual intimacy together.
Amen. I think that was well said.
This is a great episode. I can't wait to continue to talk more about these couples, and I can't wait to talk to you guys and what you think about it. Stay tuned for announcements and closing prayer. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today as we discuss the first outrageous couple in our yoke series, Adam and Eve. We hope you enjoy the discussion, but before we wrap, we have a few announcements and then we would like to close in prayer. Are you subscribed to our podcast? Do you like us on YouTube? Are you following us on Instagram? Treading Faith is our handle on all of these platforms, and you can follow our IG page to keep current on what's happening with Treading Faith podcast. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube and share this podcast with your friends, family, colleagues, and neighbors alike. Our podcast is also available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, our website, treadingfaith.captivate.fm, and where other podcasts are found. We want to grow. So if you like us, help others to like us too. Don't forget to subscribe and share. We're back tonight for another Wisdom Wednesday live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on our YouTube channel at Treading Faith. We are so looking forward to connecting with you and to hear your thoughts on our new season of Yoked, Finding and Maintaining Relationships Guided by the Word. Now, let's join together in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer and specifically praying the text of the Bible because according to Isaiah 55:11, God's word will not come back void. And because we believe our prayers are strengthened in numbers, we ask that you come into agreement with us for this prayer. Lord, Holy Father God, our leader, our spiritual guidance, our provider, our Jehovah Jireh, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to come together once again under your name to learn from you, to learn from your word so that we can be better. Oh, Father God, our prayer is that during the series and season of Yoked, that we learn to become better partners in relationships, that we teach our partner to be better partners with us, so that we are in communion with you, through you, for our relationships to survive. According to Matthew 18:20, when two or more are gathered in your name, you are present. As we gather here under your name, we thank you for your presence, not just today, but continuously in our lives. Genesis 2:4 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Father, we know that partnerships are born of you. We know that these relationships come from you. Oh, Father God, we pray for guidance in our relationships. We pray for the guidance of coming together. We pray for the guidance of staying together. And we pray for the guidance of leadership within our relationships. Oh, Father God, we want to walk in one accord, walk as one of flesh, align together, but most importantly, align with your word. Father, help us to love our partner. Help us to be on the same page with our partner. Father God, help us to be open and transparent with our Father. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father God, we confess our sins, the things that we've said and done, the things that we have failed to do, and even our thoughts. Father, we hope that we give us courage so that we can confess our sins to our partners as well, so that we can be vulnerable and transparent and grow together. So our partner can look out for us, so that we can look out for our partner and helping us to overcome our stumbling blocks of sin. Oh, Father God, we do not want the sins of ourselves to lead to marital separation. Father, we know that when we hide things, when we keep things a secret, when we sin in private, that it all comes to light. We also know that our sins, personal sins, affect our relationships and our partnerships. Oh, Father God, help us to overcome these things. Give us the strength so that we can find partners who can help us overcome these things, not push us into sin and temptation, but help us resolve it so that there is no separation between our partners and between us and you. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Oh, Father God, we hope and pray that we can be aligned with your word to do what's honorable to you. Oh, Father God, we hope that and pray that we can be honorable with each other, not only with our honesty and transparency, but the fact that we want and desire to do good to one another for one another. Father, if there's any discord in our heart against our partners, I pray that you fix it and not allow it to continue to be a wedge in between our relationships. Oh, Father God, help us to open our minds in our hearts and soften our words so that we can listen and we can speak with not only with integrity, but with love. Oh, Father God, help us to be greater communicators. We ask for your spiritual guidance in our relationships and our partnerships so that we can grow together and not grow apart. John 8:32 says, and you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Father, embolden us to be truthful, not only with ourselves, but with you and our partners. Our relationship cannot stand and survive on lies. It cannot stand and survive when we hide things from our partners, when we act in shame and secret. Father, we know whatever is done in the dark will come to the light. So let us come boldly with honesty, knowing that we will be cared for and nurtured. Father, we know that you love us when we come to you to repent. Oh, Father God, help us to form relationships and partnerships where we can count on each other so that if we need to repent, that we go in there without feeling afraid to confess our sins, oh, Father God. Because when we need help, sometimes we fear turning to one another so that we can ask for help because we fear the shame. We fear the rejection. We fear the separation. Father, we know that being open and honest and transparent builds intimacy with our partners as well as intimacy with you. So Father, allow us to grow intimately. Allow us to grow spiritually intimately as we come together in this prayer for you. Proverbs 10:9 said, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Father, we pray against any crooked path in our relationship. We pray against any crooked thoughts and words in our relationship. We do not want hearts of strife, mouth of strife, mind of strife. We want righteousness. We want goodness. We want love. And we know these things come from you. Father God, put examples in our lives so that we can learn from them. As we were learning from Adam and Eve and all the couples of the Bible, we ask that you also situate us in places where we can learn from other people who have grown and overcome marital separation, marital strife, and discourse in their relationships. Those who have strengthened their relationships, those who know how to overcome. Teach us, Father. Lead us, Father. Guide us, Father. We ask these things from you in Jesus' name. Your word says in Matthew 18, if at least two of us agree on earth about anything we ask for, that it will be done by our Father in heaven. So we come into agreement with this prayer when we say, thank you, Father God. We love you. And we're praying that you hear us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. We love you and we can't wait to catch you in the next. Bye.